Under a bill to be voted on by state lawmakers, the public would pick up half the cost, or $250 million, of a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. Do you support or oppose the use of taxpayer money to help pay for the project? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 8th. We have two guests with us with different perspectives on today's big question, and we welcome yours too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll, which is at wpr.org/joy. We've also provided a link on our Facebook page. Let's welcome in our guests who will debate today's big question. Tim Sheehy is the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce in favor of the Bucks financing plan. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And Keisha Crum is the lead organizer at Common Ground, a nonpartisan organization in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties that works on solutions to the area's social problems. She is against the financing plan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start, Tim, with you. Your side, of course, is in favor of the new facility and the plan. Why should the public chip in for this?
Well, there's really three reasons. First, it's good economics, and we'll get into why that is. It grows the state's tax revenue, which is a good thing. And finally, it helps keep Milwaukee globally competitive. It's the only market in Wisconsin that plays on a global stage in terms of attracting jobs and capital investment.
But the Bucks are a private organization. Why shouldn't the $500 million for the project come from private sources, especially when you consider the Golden State Warriors are doing that for their $600 million building?
Sure. I mean, the answer is that the legislature, the governor, have a responsibility over the state's balance sheet, if you will. And they want to grow the revenues so we're not facing many of the cuts that we are today. And if you just look at the economics of this, the state's investing $55 million up front or over the next 20 years with interest, $80 million. That $80 million investment will return to the state a minimum of $304 million in income tax revenue just off the income taxes that the players will pay. So just on a dollar-in, dollar-out basis, it's a good investment, and that's why the state is proposing to support the financing of a new arena.
So, Keisha, why are you opposed to public financing of an arena?
From our perspective, our members have overwhelmingly voted to oppose the use of public money for the construction of a new arena. While we are not against the Bucks, we're not against development of downtown, we're very clear that the use of public money in this case is not needed. We're speaking about three billionaires that have the money and the resources to capitalize the funding for the arena themselves. And when we're talking about the amount of money that Mr. Sheehy referenced, we're not talking about the interest that's going to be paid from the county and the city. And so from our perspective, there's never been a proof that the Bucks owners need our money. They want it, but they've never proven that they need it.
Yeah. What about, Keisha, the economic benefits that could result from the arena, like jobs and the economic growth, new development near the facility? Wouldn't that help Milwaukee's well-being?
Those things they would be very helpful. But the question, honestly, is who pays for that and who benefits? I mean, you know, we have a city that has over 50% unemployment of African-American males. We already have an arena. And selling popcorn and soda and doing security work is not going to employ all of them on a new development.
Yeah. Tim, what is the cost to Milwaukee and the state going to be if an arena is not built and the NBA moves the team to Seattle or Las Vegas?
Sure, I think there's a significant cost to no, and I want to say that I'm not saying, and nobody's saying, this is the most important issue for Milwaukee, but there is a significant opportunity cost to no, that our calculations are that the spending from a new arena and the related development, which is going to occur around the arena, are somewhere between $1.2 and $2.3 billion. That's going to support, to Keisha's point, between 12,000 and 20,000 jobs. Those are good-paying jobs, construction jobs, jobs that will be in the commercial developments, and something Milwaukee desperately needs. This arena development will have minority business preferences. It's going to have local hiring requirements. So the opportunity Milwaukee loses is to create those jobs, is to attract significant private sector investment leveraged by the public support. And I think we miss an opportunity that will seriously harm the growth of the city for years to come.
How serious is the threat of the team moving?
Well, it's very real. If the team is not substantially underway for a new arena by 2017, we lose the lease we have with the Bucks now. And the NBA has been very clear. Without a new arena, the team will move. It's not it might move, it will move. And so the owners that are investing the money in Milwaukee will lose the option of owning the NBA team, and we'll likely be talking about the Las Vegas Bucks or the Seattle Bucks, but it should be very clear that this deadline is real.
Keisha, is it better to lose the Bucks and not have the public pay for part of this new arena, or to keep the team and have the taxpayers kick in for it?
Well, from our end, I think, again, that we don't have to lose the Bucks. There has never been an independent audit on the financial resources of all the Bucks owners. We keep making this argument about if we don't publicly pay, we will lose the Bucks. And there's a third argument. The Bucks could pay for it themselves, and we could keep the Bucks, and you could have the development that Mr. Sheehy talks about. So from our perspective, it's the extortionist tactics that the NBA has used all over this country, and it's a development scheme that, frankly, is washed up and tired. When you think about cities like Baltimore, where the same kind of development has happened, it didn't keep the riots from happening. It didn't work. And you can look at other cities in Detroit. Detroit has all of its teams, but its city is crumbling. And so this is an economic scheme that doesn't prove that it works for the rest of the city. It works for a handful of people, and I think that the Bucks have an opportunity to follow the Golden State Warriors example and make their own investment, because they could do it, and they're capable of doing it.
Tim.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit Pollyannish to think that, any NBA team is going to cure the social ills in urban America across the country, and that's certainly not what anybody is proposing the Bucks are going to do. And then the second point here is, we can talk about New York, you can talk about San Francisco, you can talk about markets where arenas have been privately financed, but that's not the reality in markets like Milwaukee, Kansas City, and other smaller markets. And so the revenue may be there on a local basis to finance those arenas in very large markets like that, but they aren't here. They aren't here in Milwaukee. This is a net revenue generator. The revenue that's coming into Milwaukee is coming from global TV rights. So it's bringing new revenue here into Milwaukee. And if we want Milwaukee to play on a global stage, this is an investment that we think makes sense. It returns more than the tax revenue that's coming in. And we have to face up to the question, if we lose the team, we punch a $300 million hole in the state budget. Wisconsin needs Milwaukee. It needs a healthy Milwaukee. 30 to 33% of all the state's tax revenue comes from Metro Milwaukee. So it's an important part of the state's balance sheet and why it makes sense for the state to do this.
Tim Sheehy is the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, and he is speaking in favor of the financing plan for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. And Keisha Crum is the lead organizer at Common Ground, a nonpartisan organization in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties. She is speaking against a public financing for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. What do you say? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll continue our big question debate after we check the latest news. How do you feel about the financing plan for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena? Do you think it's a good deal for Wisconsin, or do you think taxpayers are getting taken? How much would it bother you if the Bucks left the state? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's big question, we are talking with two guests who have opposing viewpoints on whether or not the public should help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. And we are welcoming your thoughts, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with two guests, Keisha Crum, lead organizer at Common Ground, a nonpartisan organization in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties, speaking against the financing plan. And Tim Sheehy, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, speaking in favor of it. Keisha, you wanted to respond to Tim's comments about basketball teams saving or helping urban areas.
In particular, Mr. Sheehy's comment about it's Pollyannish to think that the NBA is going to solve the social wills. Mr. Sheehy is insinuating that we're naive and stupid and that we don't understand the dynamics. Well, I think it's clear to us that Mr. Sheehy and the interests that he represents doesn't understand what the people that Common Ground represent are dealing with every day on a day-to-day basis. They are dealing with crumbling neighborhoods, blighted houses, schools that are not working, and crime in our neighborhoods. And to insinuate that we're Pollyannish about the use of significant public money that could be directed to other resources, I think undermines the reality that we're dealing with in our community. And frankly, we might as well just give them 40 acres and a mule. What reparations are we talking about? Reparations for billionaires? I mean, give me a break.
Tim.
Yeah, I think that we just need to take a good hard look again at the economics and how this helps the city. And I think it's a stretch by Keisha. I did not insinuate that... you know, that this investment and their viewpoint on it is not legitimate. It's certainly a legitimate investment, but I think the economics of this are compelling. Milwaukee needs jobs. They need more jobs. This is going to create, as I said, more than 12,000 jobs in the short term. There's another $500 million of investment that's going to occur around the arena that develops downtown, that connects it to the north side. There are significant numbers of people in Milwaukee who are working on projects right now with public financing like Northwestern Mutual who will be able to take those apprenticeships and move with them to new construction opportunities that will occur with the development of a new arena and the surrounding arena. Those are really good things for Milwaukee. The city gets its TIF paid back. They get its parking garage paid back. You've got a Democratic mayor, you have a Democratic county executive, you have a Republican legislature all coming together to put this package together because it's good for the citizens of Milwaukee and it's good for the state, for the citizens of the state.
Keisha, anything further?
Yeah, I mean, when you, Mr. Sheehy, I think no question the jobs are a good thing for the city, but the other part to this story is that these numbers are inflated, and when you look at the question about who really benefits on the development, it's the Bucks. It's the Bucks owners, the head of the Herd LLC. And this is a washed-up, old and tired economic strategy. And frankly, it's disappointing that our city leaders haven't come up with an original idea. And you can look at this across, I named Baltimore. This kind of development didn't stop the riots, and it didn't change the dynamics of jobs for the central city of Baltimore.
So does a public support of sports arenas help cities like Baltimore, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, the question is, what would Baltimore be without the development that it does have? And again, I mean, throwing up the fact that cities have riots and have NBA teams. Every city in the United States that has an NBA team at one point has probably had a riot. They have unemployed people. The question is, for Milwaukee, this is an asset that 22 other states, 30 other markets in the world have. It brings in new revenue, and it creates an opportunity to develop a significant part of downtown that is undeveloped right now. It is not a tired old strategy. It is part of the vision to grow Milwaukee, to keep the ability for the city to gain new revenues, to spend on education, to spend on job training. And I think it will have a significant impact on Milwaukee. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I can see the opportunity that Milwaukee is going to lose if we don't take advantage of incentivizing the development of significant growth in and around the arena. And they may not seem like real jobs on paper, but they certainly are to the thousands of people that are going to take those construction jobs and that will be employed in the development that will occur around the arena. And you know, Keisha has, I think, really poked hard at the owners, and I think that we should be in a position and want to be in a position where we're attracting very successful business owners to invest in our city and our community. That's how it's going to grow.
Let's take some calls. We have many. Jim in Pleasant Prairie. Hello, Jim.
Hi. Good morning. The question is, why wouldn't we ask the players to help fund this? You know, it's easy to ask the taxpayers to pay, but why wouldn't we ask the players to either, you know, fund it or partially fund it? Would be, you know, another option than just saying, let's just tax the public.
What about the tax to the, Tim, what about that?
Sure. I mean, the answer is, quite frankly, and I think the caller nailed it on the head, in a very real way, the players are paying for this. The income tax generated just off the players' salaries alone last year accounted for $6.7 million. That's going to double and then triple as the new NBA contracts and TV contracts going forward. So in a very real sense, the revenue that the state is receiving, a portion of that will pay for the state's investment. So this is, again, a net. The $80 million that the players are paying through their income taxes generate another $304 million over the same period of time. And so that's exactly what's happening.
Keisha, what about that it's cheaper to keep them argument?
Well, that doesn't pan out as well either. You know, I want to go back to Mr. Sheehy's point about let's talk about the owners and this question of investing in one part of our city and not the other. Mr. Edens is the chair of the board of NationStar Holdings LLC Mortgage. And they're the second largest mortgage holder in our city, about 3,000 mortgages. And several of their homes, we inspected 300 of them, that are blighting our neighborhoods, that are destroying property values, that are creating negative energy in our neighborhoods. And so when you talk about the question of making an investment somewhere and blighting neighborhoods, that's a problem for us. And one of the issues that Common Ground has really pushed on is that Mr. Edens and NationStar needs to not only get something downtown, but they need to make an investment in neighborhoods by putting $25 million back into our city and to Milwaukee Rising to make sure that he demonstrates the same kind of energy he's showing for downtown in our neighborhoods. And that's something that really shows our city and our community that he cares about the mutual self-interest of our community, not just his own, where he's going to profit hand over fist.
Tim, how do you respond to Keisha's take on Wes Edens and the hundreds of foreclosed homes in the city that his company is holding?
Yeah, I don't have the facts. I don't represent Nation Star. I think that's a question that if you want to deal with on a topic on home foreclosures. But, again, I don't have the facts. I don't represent Nation Star. My only comment would be that the thousands of jobs that are going to be created in this project, you can't pay for a home. You can't have a home if you don't have a good-paying job. So creating good-paying jobs is ultimately the goal for a healthy city and ultimately the goal for a healthy housing environment.
Yeah, but Keisha, what about the argument that the income taxes paid by the Milwaukee Bucks players pays for a lot of this this new arena, and we would lose all that if the team goes?
Well, I think if I have been reading the details right, that I thought that the governor wasn't allocating those income taxes for the arena, it was going back to the general fund. I thought that was the change. From our perspective, we all pay income taxes. And that if a certain number of citizens were able to say that we want to redirect our income taxes to certain neighborhoods and certain schools, regular citizens don't get that option. And I think that we have to look at the big picture. And we don't have to lose those income taxes if the Bucks owners pay for it themselves. So I think it's a mute argument.
Doug on Facebook says, while I'm not a huge fan of public funds for sports teams, I understand the need for a new arena even if the Bucks don't play there. Milwaukee is without a good venue for major concert acts when it is in summer. The Bradley Center acoustics are dreadful from a musical standpoint. Outside the Bucks, this arena is used for Marquette basketball, Admirals hockey, and various shows. So Doug is saying that there would be those other benefits with a new arena. Keisha, what do you say about that?
I mean, when you look at right now, the current Bradley Center, those kinds of things are already happening. We have Summerfest. We have the Milwaukee Theater. We have the Panther Theater. I mean, those venues are here and those things are happening. I don't, see how it adds anything new to our landscape of, creating the new arena, frankly.
Tim?
It's about the competition, and it's about, again, keeping Milwaukee globally competitive and having the amenities to do that. The Bradley Center is 30 years old. It's aging. It's in need of significant investment. We're getting bypassed by concerts that don't play there because it is not up to the caliber that it needs to be. And I think the guy that emailed in made a good point. The Bucks play 42 to 45 dates a year. The new arena is going to host 200 events, and the concerts and Marquette and all the other activities that go in there, again, generate spending in the community, and they generate jobs and income. And I think it's very important to understand why the state is doing this, because they come out in a revenue positive position, and that's good for Milwaukee. 80% of the funding for our public schools in Milwaukee comes from the state of Wisconsin. So we want the state healthy. We want it growing. We want it to have more revenue. So we continue to get that support for probably the most important thing in the community, and that's making sure our young kids get educated.
Let's go to Jim in Milwaukee next. Hello, Jim.
Yes, good morning. Well, I wish I had an hour to relay my sentiment, but nevertheless, I have been for and pro, even though I do not believe there's a net economic gain to Milwaukee County, in particular with the population. I'm all for creating jobs and all other opportunities that come with it. Nevertheless, I have come to disagree with having this arena built for just the entire state of affairs in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to our government being run by corporate interest. In Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, excuse me.
I don't know if
when
I...
When they want to dissolve the Citizen Utility Board, but then come back and ask the taxpayers for money, I've decided I do not want the arena.
All right. Well, I don't want to go too far off focus, but Tim Sheehy, your response to that?
Yeah, no, I think there's a, this is a democracy. It has a wide range of interests in it. And our responsibility and our job, I think, is to represent the interests of the business community in the public interest. And we want to make sure that this state is attractive, it's hospitable to employers who create jobs, who create tax revenue. But that is not the only interest the state should pay attention to. So.
How do you respond, Tim Sheehy, to the a similar argument that $250 million of public money for a sports arena when $250 million was cut from the University of Wisconsin system? Where are our priorities, is the argument.
Sure, and I think it's a fair question. I think we do not support the cuts that are being levied to the universities, and we've fought against those cuts. But there is not going to be – Wisconsin has two problems. One is the challenge of making sure that we don't spend more than we take in. The other challenge is growing our top-line revenue. And I look at this as an investment in the downtown development and in the new arena as a way to grow our top-line investment. And I keep using these numbers over and over and over again. But for an $80 million investment, you get a $300 million return. So this is not about spending money. This is about investing to raise the tax revenue so we don't have to continue to face future budgets where we're talking about what we're going to cut. And the only way to do that is to grow the state's income and its revenue. And the only way that happens is if we have more jobs and more investment, like what we're proposing here with the downtown development and the new arena.
Keisha, you want to respond to the where are our priorities argument?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting to talk about this as a democracy and a decision where the people are really have a say. And when you look at the polling that Marquette Law School did, when you look at the responses, the people are saying they don't want to spend their public money on an arena. Mr. Sheehy references a $300 million investment that the state is getting, but what was not talked about is the almost $400 million of our tax dollars that is going to be mortgaged into the future on this deal. And that's a question that we as the public are really not getting an opportunity to vote on. And there seems to be every effort developed to take away the voice of the people to really have a say on, do we want to use our public money for this as a priority? And, I think that in this case, Mr. Sheehy talks about the MMAC's, representing the business community. We live in a society where organized money trumps organized people every time.
We have to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio once again, and then we will come back with final arguments from our guests on whether or not the public should help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. Today's big question. Keisha Crum, who is the lead organizer at Common Ground, says no. Tim Sheehy, who is the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, says yes. And we will welcome your calls, too, in a sound off after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Republican state senators passed Wisconsin's state budget last night, and we will have a special report on that budget passage coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, we will conclude our big question with our two guests who have different answers to the big question and a sound-off on should the public help pay for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tim Sheehy, the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, is in favor of the Bucks Arena financing plan. Keisha Crum, the lead organizer at Common Ground, a nonpartisan organization in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties, is against it. Because we are running short on time with our special report coming up, but let me ask you, Keisha Crum, it sounded like what do you think is going to happen with this Bucks Arena deal? Do you think that this is going to pass?
You know, when you look at the conversations that are happening, they're shifting. You know, I think that we were never under the illusion that it wouldn't happen. Our question was always, could there be a broader benefit? And I think we'll see in the next couple of days of if our legislators are going to vote on a massive subsidy and welfare for billionaires.
Tim Sheehy, you are optimistic that the deal will be approved?
Yeah, this is an extremely democratic process. The Common Council will vote on this. The County Board and Common Council committees have already voted on this. The County Board will vote on it. It's engaged the mayor. It's engaged the county executive, both branches of the legislature, the governor, people in both parties. So this is about as democratic as the process gets. And we feel confident that we will get to a resolution that allows the city of Milwaukee to move forward with a significant development, a new arena, and the state will benefit significantly from that development. So, yeah, I feel that we're going to resolve this in a way that's good for the taxpayer and good for Milwaukee.
Well, you probably covered some of it, Tim Sheehy, but what is your message to lawmakers regarding this public financing of the Milwaukee Bucks Arena?
Help the state grow its tax base. Keep a strong partnership with Milwaukee because it's important to the state's balance sheet, and help us create tens of thousands of jobs and continue to put Milwaukee in a position where it can be globally competitive because that's good economics for the entire community.
And Keisha, what is your message to the state legislature as it considers this deal?
So our message is first that we don't believe that the Bucks owners need our money and they should follow the Golden State Warriors example. And if the legislators don't believe us, they should do an independent audit of their finances. The second is, frankly, they don't deserve it. Mr. Eden's company is blighting our neighborhoods, and we believe our mayor and common council have a moral responsibility to get an investment from Nation Star of at least $25 million before they vote on the city's package of giving money to the arena.
I was going to close it right there, but Tim Sheehy, I would like you to respond to whether there needs to be any sorts of promises. We have a lot of people who are saying the Bucks have to promise to stay here for, you know, 20 years or more, or you know, we should get money back if the arena is sold or they leave.
Yeah, so those are not promises. Those are actually put into the legislation that's part of the financing. The team is required to sign a 30-year lease. They are required to cover any cost overruns for the new arena. They are required to cover all the operating expenses in a new arena. And if the team is sold short of that 30-year period, they're required to pay back anything that has not been paid into the financing. So there are some very, very strong ironclad agreements in there that make sure that the taxpayers are well represented.
Any final words, Keisha?
I mean, our understanding, I mean, on some of those details is there hasn't been, because the Wisconsin Center District is going to negotiate the lease with the Bucks, and there, I haven't seen that there's a non-relocation agreement based on that. So, I mean, that the devil's in the details from our perspective.
The detail is very clear. I mean, you can't throw that out because it's in the detail. I have it right in front of me in the Fiscal Bureau paper. There was a five-hour discussion of joint finance. It's very clear. It's in the legislation.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Our time is gone. Thank you both very much for being with us. Tim Sheehy is with the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, and Keisha Crum is the lead organizer at Common Ground. Now it's time for you to sound off on today's big question. Do you support or oppose taxpayer support for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena? You get 30 seconds in our sound off to state your case. 1-800-642-1234. David in South Milwaukee, what do you think?
Hi, I oppose. There are no legitimate studies that show that this type of investment by a community has a net gain. No legitimate studies show that. Further, these are hedge fund dealers who are pressing a vulnerable seam of investment. They're going to leverage their money to make a lot of money. I'm in if I can get a share of the team when it gets sold. That would be a business deal. This is extortion otherwise, so I'm opposed. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Jim in Slinger, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with David. I am opposed to the public financing, and one aspect of the economic argument that really hasn't been presented is that if economists are asked, they almost universally agree that public financing of sports buildings are a bad public policy idea. They say projections of advocates are always inflated and that the positive economic effects are restricted to within a few blocks of any new facility.
Thank you very much, Jim. Let's. Jeff in this email says, some people in the state like to compare us to Minnesota, noting how good their economy is. Well, they are footing the bill for about half of the new Viking Stadium. A significant portion of that is from the city of Minneapolis. If it's good for them, why not us? Let's go next to Jonathan in Wauwatosa. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I am very much against public money being used for a new arena because there is no reason that the owners couldn't pay for this themselves. Mr. Sheehy hasn't proven that they can't pay for it themselves, and there has been a lot of hand-wringing. Ultimately, with interest, it's going to cost us over $400 million, and I think that the Bucks owners can just pay for it themselves now, and it would be done.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Well, that'll do it for Sound Off today. You can continue to vote online in our big question. So far, our online poll results, 86% support public financing. I almost thought that was a typo because most of the calls have been against it. But 86% of those voting support public financing for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. 15% oppose public financing. So continue voting in our online poll at WPR.org/joy, or you can also find it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Republican state senators passed Wisconsin's state budget last night, clearing the plan's biggest remaining hurdle in the legislature. As Sean Johnson reports, many of the budget's spending decisions were overshadowed by its sweeping last-minute policy changes.
For all the discussion this year over how this budget would transform the University of Wisconsin and all the arguing over how it would pay for everything from state parks to roads, it was telling yesterday that the Senate's budget debate began on a different topic, the myriad ways the budget would weaken Wisconsin's open records laws. Republicans on the legislature's budget committee only added the open records changes last Thursday. Yesterday, the full Senate voted unanimously to take them out. Middleton Democrat John Erpenbach told Republicans they should still be ashamed.
This doesn't make you a hero at all. This doesn't. And for those of you the six of you in this chamber that voted for this, you will still have explaining to do, because this vote doesn't take away what happened last Thursday night.
The Senate's vote came on the same day that Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald told reporters he helped write the open records changes, along with staff for Governor Walker. On the Senate floor, Fitzgerald said Wisconsin's open records laws still needed to be modernized.
I'm hopeful that we can eventually figure out what we can do
to update this section of the statutes.
It wasn't the only issue discussed yesterday that Republicans added to the budget just last week. Another would let employees work a seven-day week without rest. Fond du Lac Republican Rick Gudeck stressed that it would be voluntary.
Everybody loves a day off, but once in a while, businesses just run into the situation, and they have a couple employees that want to say, hey, I'll stay. No big deal. I ain't got nothing going on anyway.
But Milwaukee Senate Democrat Chris Larson said the changes would pressure employees to work more. Larson said the weekend was as American as apple pie and that workers deserve one day off in seven.
I mean, I haven't read the Bible since my days in Catholic high school, but I recall even our Lord and Savior needed a day off.
Republicans also made an even bigger change to Wisconsin's labor laws yesterday, amending the budget to repeal the state's prevailing wage law for local government construction projects starting in 2017. Ashland Democrat Janet Bewley asked Republicans how they could defend deliberately lowering the wages of their constituents.
I'm the last person that's going to tell my constituents that they're overpaid, and not only that, that it has to become public policy.
But conservatives like Whitewater area Senator Steve Noss viewed yesterday's prevailing wage vote as a major victory, especially when other Republicans said it would never happen. Noss said it was time to move beyond prevailing wage, which he called a Depression-era law.
Government should not be in the business of artificially inflating wages.
Noss, who is widely expected to vote against the budget, ended up voting for it after the prevailing wage changes were tacked on. But with all of the other policy changes Republicans added to the budget, they lost another GOP vote. Green Bay Senator Robert Cole said the budget was full of policy proposals that had no business being in the budget.
I would say this is an excessive amount. I can't think of any time that there's been anywhere near this, and I've always fought against it.
Cole said the open records changes were indicative of the rest of the budget. The document, he said, was full of policies that should have been set aside and scrutinized more carefully. There's little time for extra scrutiny now. The Assembly is scheduled to pass the budget later today. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And tomorrow at this time, we will have a roundup of reaction on the state budget, what's in it and what's not. That's tomorrow from 7 until 8. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Caleb Lado, and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.